Quick disclaimer, information in this podcast is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to be treated as medical advice. Always consult with your healthcare team before making changes to your diet, lifestyle, supplementation, or medication.
Carbohydrate reduction or carbohydrate counting have been long-term features of diabetes guidelines. Even so, a high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet has been the most common dietary recommendation provided to patients in routine practice, which is pretty crazy, but true nonetheless.
Welcome to Type 2 Diabetes Talk, the place where we chat about what really works to treat type 2 diabetes and prediabetes naturally with nutrition and lifestyle. If you're looking to optimize blood sugar and A1C, lose weight, reduce medications, and improve your overall health, this is the place to be. Now, here's your host, type 2 diabetes nutrition specialist, Dr. Jetta.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. The primary goal of type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes treatment is obtaining and maintaining blood sugar control. And to assess your blood sugar control, you can go to the doctor to test this using a hemoglobin A1C blood test, otherwise known as HbA1c or A1C. HbA1c measures how much glucose is in the bloodstream over an average three-month period, which occurs via a process called glycosylation, where the glucose or sugars in the blood attach to hemoglobin, the protein in red blood cells that carry oxygen. While that's the technical process, in simpler terms, the A1C test measures how much glucose or sugar is in the blood. As we determined back in episode 11, blood sugar control for type 2 diabetes is generally defined as HbA1c levels less than 7%. But achieving a level below 6% is recommended if you can achieve this because you will be far healthier and have less risk for developing complications. For pre-diabetes, achieving a normal A1C level below 5.7% is optimal, but at the very least, a level of 6% or below is recommended. To achieve blood sugar control, current treatment often focuses on medication. And as we explored through our medication series, episodes 15 to 18, overtreatment and medication overprescription is common in diabetes. But we also know that across the globe, medical care guidelines in diabetes recommend that diet and lifestyle be encouraged in all people at every stage of the diabetes journey. Of course, this isn't always happening, and in fact, it doesn't happen a great deal, and medication is, unfortunately, often the only treatment recommended to people. As I've said before, there's a primary reason that diet is important, because we know changes in diet can achieve HbA1c reductions similar to or greater than those achieved by available diabetes medications. And even when medication is required, diet is still important as it can help reduce risk of complications and optimize other health biomarkers such as your weight, your blood pressure, and your cholesterol, along with helping to reduce inflammation and increase energy, among other things. And as we've established before, diet and nutrition are key to better diabetes health and are your number one treatment strategy. Treatment of diabetes should be guided by the best available evidence to achieve the best health outcomes. That makes sense logically, of course. It's not exactly what we see, though, as I've discussed in previous episodes many times. So if your diet is your number one treatment strategy, let's chat about carbs again. It has been long understood that carbohydrates are the nutrient with the greatest influence on blood sugar control. That's why carbohydrate reduction or carbohydrate counting have been long-term features of diabetes guidelines. Even so, a high-carbohydrate, low-fat diet had been the most common dietary recommendation provided to patients in routine practice, which is pretty crazy but true nonetheless. But over the past several years, Low-carbohydrate diets have emerged as the most impactful dietary approach for achieving the best blood sugar control and clinical outcomes in people with T2 diabetes and pre-diabetes. The strong and surmounting amount of evidence on this just simply can't be ignored. You might be wondering, when you say low carb, what do you actually mean? I have defined this before, but to say it again, a low carbohydrate diet is above 10% and below 26% carbohydrate from total daily energy intake. And that means a range of about 50 to 129 grams of carbs per day in the context of a 2,000 calorie a day eating plan. If you go below 10%, you're in keto territory, and if you go above 26%, you're in moderate to high carb territory. As I said, I've explained the full definitions for low carb diets back in episode 6. Overall, the research shows that low carbohydrate diets are the best because not only do they achieve incredible outcomes for you, lower A1C, weight, and meds, but they are sustainable long term. And diet sustainability is very important. It's no use to you if you start something that you find too difficult to stick to, only to end up back where you were or in an even worse situation, binge eating, emotional eating, or yo-yo dieting, for example. The key with your eating plan is to find the right balance. Find what feels natural and sustainable for you. That's what we help people do the best, because it's that sweet spot that is going to make all the difference for you. But here's the thing. The evidence overwhelmingly suggests that low carbohydrate eating plans help people achieve reductions in HbA1c, more than usual care, or moderate or high carbohydrate diets. And these types of diets can be described as low fat, Mediterranean, healthy eating, low glycemic index, DASH, and the list goes on. Low carbohydrate eating plans outdo all of them in terms of achieving better health for you. Of course, the most obvious outcome you want is lower blood sugar and A1C, and that is guaranteed. But what type of A1C reduction can you expect from following a low carb eating plan? Systematic reviews take all the data from several randomized control trials and assess them all together to get the average reductions. And overall, the average A1C reduction has been about 0.5% at 3 and 6 months. We know that in individual studies, the reduction can be much more. For example, the average A1C reduction in my T2 diet study randomized control trial was almost 1% in people taking the program over 16 weeks, compared to just 0.27% in those who didn't take the program. So the A1C difference between the groups was a 0.64%, which is very significant in such a short time frame. And remember, these are just the averages. I know many people achieved well beyond this, reducing A1C by as much as 3% in 16 weeks. And I've seen many members reduce their A1C by 3 to 4% in 3 to 4 months. Of course, the higher your A1C is, the bigger possibility there is for a larger reduction. But the point is, you can get your levels down fairly fast, and a low carbohydrate diet can help you do it naturally. Once you get it down, the key is to keep it down and keep on going. It's that diet sustainability that is key, because the longer you keep following a healthy lower carb eating plan, the better your blood sugar control gets, the more your weight stabilizes, and more you can reduce your meds and eventually stop them. It's the cumulative effects. Everything you do just keeps adding and adding and adding to what you do, so you keep improving your health more and more and more. Beyond HbA1c, the evidence from reviews have shown improvements in other important clinical biomarkers as well. We see significant improvements in cardiovascular biomarkers, such as increases in HDL cholesterol, decreases in triglycerides, and reductions in systolic blood pressure. But the most important thing about low-carb diets is reductions in medication requirements for oral medications and or insulin or both. And these have been consistently reported across many scientific reviews. This evidence highlights a superior effect of low-carb diets for achieving metabolic improvements in people with type 2 diabetes. Reviews have also indicated the reduction in medication requirements are being maintained, and this suggests sustained metabolic improvements from low-carb diets. And I need to highlight one particularly important point. These positive health outcomes have not been observed in control groups, in people following usual care or moderate or high carbohydrate diets. They are not seeing medication reduction. Again, we also saw this in my T2 diet study. Those taking the program reduced medications, those that didn't increase medications. Of course, we know this is likely to be true in every single case because without diet or lifestyle strategies, the primary method to assist patients to attain blood sugar control is through prescription of medication. And we know that happens a lot. Point being, if you don't make any diet and lifestyle changes, chances are you will be increasing your medications and your diabetes will likely get worse. But if you make the necessary adjustments to your eating plan, your diabetes is going to get better. You're going to see remarkable improvements in your health and be able to reduce or stop medications.
Are you ready to take charge of your diabetes health? Dr. Jetta's T2 diet program has been clinically proven in a randomized controlled trial to dramatically reduce A1C, weight, and medications in just 16 weeks. The T2 diet program will guide you step by step to discover an eating plan that feels natural and sustainable for you. And most importantly, works to get results. Learn more and join the program today at type2diabetestalk.com/programs.
Einstein's definition of insanity: doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Or in other words, if you do nothing, nothing will change. But you can focus on your diet and nutrition and change a lot, as I have been expressing throughout this podcast so far. In terms of carbohydrates, we established back in episode 9 that the medical care guidelines continue to state that there is currently no recommended ideal amount, even though we have an abundance of research to suggest otherwise. But quite simply, carbohydrate reduction and counting have been central to dietary self-management of diabetes for decades. It is widely understood that carbohydrate is the macronutrient with the greatest influence on blood sugar compared to other macronutrients. This is not a secret and has been throughout medical care guidelines for decades as well. A low carbohydrate diet is above 10% and below 26% carbohydrate from total daily energy intake. A range of 50 to 129 grams of carbs per day in the context of a 2000 calorie a day eating plan. That's what the medical care guidelines should be recommending because we know it works. So while you can go and use a food diary and diet calculator to measure all your foods, I personally find doing this quite boring, and most people don't tend to do this in everyday life because it is so laborious. So what to do instead is focus on three simple steps to lower carbs. Firstly, we want to see you focusing on carbohydrate foods such as vegetables, with particular emphasis on higher consumption of non-starchy vegetables. When we say non-starchy vegetables, think of all the vegetables that grow above ground. Veggies like tomato, zucchini, artichoke, asparagus, celery, cucumber, mushrooms, green beans, cabbage, spinach, etc. You can eat a smorgasbord of non-starchy veggies, and by doing so, you make it super easy on yourself when it comes to carb reduction. And by emphasizing high intake of vegetables, you'll be getting adequate dietary fiber along with all the many other health benefits that vegetables provide. Secondly, avoid or minimize high carbohydrate foods and drinks that contain added sugar and refined grains, and this includes sugary drinks like sodas and juices. And when I say sugar, I mean try to avoid and minimize all the different types of sugar: white sugar, brown sugar, raw sugar, fructose, honey, agave, malt, rice syrup, corn syrup, and the list goes on. And the thing we want to see you focusing on is a diet that predominantly includes low carbohydrate, nutrient-dense food sources, real whole foods. So when we combine the second and third points here, we see that you'll want to avoid the main aisles of the store where all the processed and packaged foods are, as these are the types of foods filled with sugar and refined grains. They are not nutrient-dense foods, but man-made foods, some of which can be okay, that's true, but many of which are highly processed, low-quality foods. So if you can do those three things, you'll see your blood sugar and A1C improve. 1, focus on eating lots of non-starchy vegetables. 2, minimize high carbohydrate foods and drinks that contain added sugar and refined grains. And 3, choose whole foods over highly processed foods as much as possible. No one is perfect 100% of the time. It is difficult with all the modern day foods we are surrounded by. So my motto is simple: consistency is more important than perfection. And we don't encourage extremism, but common sense and balance. If you're eating well most of the time, there's always room for sweets and treats you really love and enjoy. In terms of daily real life practice, a low carb diet is a practical and sustainable eating approach. Once you know what types of food you can eat, you can even eat at McDonald's and many other fast food outlets and have a variety of choices. Low carb foods are available everywhere. Yes, you have to make the right choices for yourself, but the point is, a low carbohydrate diet is flexible and practical. So, what might a day eating a low carb diet look like in practice? You might be surprised that it could look very similar to what you're doing right now, but with a slight twist on it. Let me give you one example. Breakfast could be a nut-based muesli with blueberries, milk, and plain Greek yogurt. We talked about a ton of breakfast ideas in episode 19. Lunch could be a Tex-Mex beef or turkey burrito bowl. And dinner could be a chicken and vegetable satay. How delicious does that day sound? Once you know what types of food you can eat anywhere, anytime. But we understand it can be a learning curve for many people. It may be different to what you've been eating and can take some time to adjust. That's why we created our member support services a decade ago to help make it easier to eat a healthy low-carb diet and lower blood sugar, A1C, weight, and medications. And as a member, we guide the way with weekly meal plans for ongoing inspiration, detailed food guides and charts with all the important things you need to know, tons of delicious recipes for every occasion, guides on eating out, best food options, carbs, fats, proteins, drinks, breads, and more. You can browse our huge library of resources to get proper answers to any questions you may have. And you can access my T2 Diet program that guides you step by step on exactly what to do. Plus, we have member masterclasses on food labels, low-carb breads, carbs, cooking classes, and more. And even check in with us every month to tell us how you're going or get extra help and support. Becoming a member is really the shortest and best route to lower A1C, weight, and medications. So please, I do recommend you go to our website at type2diabetestalk.com to check it all out. But the key points of today's chat are that the primary goal of type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes treatment is obtaining and maintaining blood sugar control. The best way to do this is by adopting a low-carb eating plan rich in whole nutrient-dense foods. A low-carbohydrate diet is above 10% and below 26% carbohydrate from total daily energy intake. A range of 50 to 129 grams of carbs per day in the context of a 2,000 calorie a day eating plan. If you don't want to count carbs specifically, you don't need to. Just follow three simple steps to lower carbs. One, focus on eating lots of non-starchy vegetables. Two, minimize high carbohydrate foods and drinks that contain added sugar and refined grains. And three, choose whole foods over highly processed foods as much as possible. Just try it yourself. It really can be that simple, and you'll see noticeable health changes in a very short time. But let me just say, don't try to overload yourself with changing everything at once. If it all seems overwhelming, try to change one meal at a time instead. For example, start with breakfast. We talked about breakfast options in episode 19, so that could be a good place for you to start. And if you head to the website, you can view the huge list of breakfast ideas and find some recipes too, alongside episode 19. Then once you have a good routine and a few meal options for breakfast, move on to lunch, then dinner, then snacks. And while going cold turkey and making big changes works for some people, for the majority of people, a slow, steady pace usually works better. Most importantly, do something. Remember, if you do nothing, nothing will change, and you certainly don't want that. For our members, you can head to the members site and find all those resources, all the guides, and the carb counts related to your calorie intake as well. So there's lots of extra resources and perks for you down at the members site and with the podcasts in the members library. Until next week, take care. Dr. Jeddah, over and out.
Thanks for tuning in to Type 2 Diabetes Talk. Please subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. And for episode replays, episode notes, and more, visit type2diabetestalk.com. New episodes are available Tuesdays, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or your time zone equivalent. Thanks again. We're truly grateful to be a part of your life and help make a real difference.